A great story has the power to move us.
It speaks to something that lives at the core of who we are.
It calls us to consider it, compels us to better it, or highlights our longing for it.
But what is it? We believe that in each narrative, in every story told, there is a shadow of and a longing for the gospel.
We cheer for heroes because something tells us we need an extraordinary good to triumph evil.
We connect with flawed characters because they reveal something within ourselves.
When it comes to movies, we love Mike Hosper's conclusion that for the Christian, if we're thoughtfully engaged, our watching can be educational, edifying,
and even a cause for worship.
I'm Courtney Huskisson.
And I'm Matt Rushing.
And this is Cinema Stories. Matt!
Courtney!
Happy December.
Yes!
It's December.
It's the festive season.
It is.
I love it.
What Christmas movies have you already watched?
Not too many. So far, I have seen While You Were Sleeping.
Yes.
Which we watched together with our group the other night. As well as I saw a brand new Christmas movie on Netflix called Klaus.
Klaus.
And it's animated. And it is a origin story for Santa. And it is very good.
I really liked it.
So it was very well done. Fantastic movie. So if you're looking for something new to watch and you haven't, and you've already watched The Christmas Chronicles, of course.
Oh, gosh.
So if you've already done that, you'll definitely want to check out Klaus because it's very good.
All right.
Have you watched any other Christmas movies so far?
Well, we kind of went hog wild on Thanksgiving with my family. So I've already seen Muppets, Arthur Christmas, two versions of The Grinch.
Wow.
White Christmas. But I usually watch White Christmas a couple times. As well as Arthur Christmas and Muppets Christmas Carols. I'm going to watch all of those again. While You Were Sleeping, Noelle, the new movie.
Oh, yeah, we
watched
that too. Yeah, that was cute.
Yep. I watch Meet Me in St. Louis as a Christmas movie. So
makes sense. Yep.
I have watched that. Yesterday we watched It's a Wonderful Life and Half of the Bishop's Wife.
Wow.
Didn't make it all the way
Goodness,
through.
You are watching tons of stuff.
Well, it is only 2 weeks till Christmas. There's only so much time.
It is true.
So, and I don't think I've seen... nope. I watched Frosty the Snowman. I was like, I don't think I've seen any of the classics yet. I still haven't seen Rudolph and A Year Without a Santa Claus and Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
And Charlie Brown Christmas.
And I haven't seen Charlie Brown Christmas. Yeah. So there's still much more to watch.
There's so much to watch. I guess I just need to get into it. I just haven't been watching that much Christmas, but I have watched Rogue One on Disney Plus.
Great.
I've watched Episode 2.
Great.
And I've also checked out A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood with Tom Hanks.
I really want to watch that one.
So good. I may have cried a few times.
Yeah.
Yes. Very good. Saw Knives Out.
What?
Yes, Ryan Johnson movie.
Yeah,
Knives Out.
Oh, you saw Knives Out.
Yeah,
okay.
It was not great. And then I watched on Amazon Prime, because they just released it, this movie called Brittany Runs a Marathon, which was actually very good. And then I watched The 24-Hour War, which your dad had recommended, because I went and saw...
Ferrari.
Yeah. Ford versus Ferrari.
There you go.
Ford v Ferrari. And so this was the documentary about that. And so really good, very good stuff. But yes, I need to start getting into the Christmas stuff. I need to watch.
Gotta catch up.
I know. Too much. There's just, you said, there's just not enough time.
We've watched The Mandalorian.
Yes.
That's a win.
Yes, absolutely win.
My roommate is rewatching through Downton Abbey, so I'm vicariously living through her.
Excellent.
The second time, so that's real fun.
And you've started another television show.
And I'm watching Clone Wars. I have a story, and I don't know if the podcasters care about this, but I had a dream that I was being chased by battle droids and an AT-ST, and I was just running.
That is terrifying. Roger, roger.
They honestly,
I can't reach her. She's running too fast. My legs aren't made for this.
Those are literally my favorite characters in this show. I'm like, I know they're dumb and they're just expendable, but they're my favorite characters.
They are
right
very
now.
Funny. Yeah.
So, and we're enjoying watching Clone Wars. So
that's good. It's a good show.
It is.
So
yeah,
I'm excited for you guys to watch through that and then watch through Rebels because I think the experience is definitely worth it.
Yeah.
And you'll enjoy all the connections that, because I know you've seen some of the Rebels because your dad was watching it and you kind of like popped in every once in a while. Yep. But it means a lot more when you know some of the characters that you encountered in Rebels from the Clone Wars. So yeah, it's totally worth it. And I love when people are finding that show because it's just so good. And the very last season's coming out in February.
Of Rebels?
Not Rebels, of Clone Wars. Wow. They're finishing it up. So
that's amazing.
I'm super excited about that. So yeah. That's
and I've
all
seen
the things.
Chunks, but I don't know how Darth Maul comes back. So
spoiler. Oh, it's
I just want to know.
Pretty epic.
Yeah.
So yeah, the whole show is epic, and I can't wait for you to have more updates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's a new movie in the offing this month, last month, whatever.
It was last month, yeah.
That is kind of perfect for Christmas because lots of cold stuff and snowflakes.
Mm-hmm. And snowmen.
And snowmen.
Yeah.
So, Frozen 2 has been out. I could not believe that it was made, 2013?
The original Frozen?
Yes.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
What?
I know, isn't that crazy?
And it's been popular for like 9 years.
Apparently.
That's insane.
I mean, little girls love, you know, snowflakes.
Dresses and singing.
Dresses and singing, exactly. So, overall, like Frozen 2... Did it live up? Was there any hype for you, or is it just like, oh, I'm interested to see what they do?
I was originally like, why are they doing this? And then I was like, maybe. And it was better than I thought it was going to be, mm-hmm. but I'm still not certain there was a plot line. So that's where I'm like, I feel like the first movie was a better written story. And I feel like their music was better. I did only see it once. You know, things tend to get better on the rewatch. But I felt like it was a little split divided.
That's interesting. Other than Into the Woods, which is the best song in the movie, I think. You don't think so?
It's hilarious.
It's
of course.
Amazing.
I mean, the movie is hilarious. I laughed out loud through the whole thing. So much so that Danae had to hit me and tell
that
me to shut
true.
Up.
That is true.
Especially Olaf is my favorite.
Yeah. So... Samantha? I don't know
Samantha?
A Samantha.
Samantha?
Yeah. Actually, I do know Samantha. She's my sister, but that's anyway. See, I didn't think, you know, for the most part, the music wasn't better in this movie. It was more just okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually thought that this storyline was better.
Really?
Yes.
I felt like the storyline was more meaningful.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Definitely the themes, the ideas are much, much better.
Mm-hmm.
So I will say that for sure. And maybe they did it on purpose because their whole point, right, is they bring these characters together. They created a unity and then they split them up. They all transform and then they come back together. Like that's the whole.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
So I think it was in the dividedness where it's just like there's just a lot going on. Everyone's story
is
kind of moving in a different direction. And maybe that's where I feel the disconnectedness.
Yep. Yeah, I mean... It's funny because in many ways it kind of has an Empire Strikes Backness to it because like, you know how Luke goes off by himself?
True.
Well, Elsa ends up going off by herself and she's alone most of the time. And then you had Han and Leia together. And in this movie you have Anna and Kristoff together, but then they're even kind of separated, which, you know, happens in Empire 2. And then, you know, everybody comes back and
Olaf dies.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
It was tragic.
He doesn't die. He's away.
But he's it's fine by the end, folks.
He's back.
It's cool. Yeah. So I think all of that, I think like you said too, it's really, in the thematic elements, this movie is much stronger and much deeper and had a lot more interesting things to say and to talk about. So, and I think, you know, kind of starting off, the movie has set up this like interesting conundrum for them in that there is almost a fall narrative that has happened that has affected everybody in Arendelle, as well as Elsa and Anna, and affected a whole other part of the country that they've only heard about in myth, that they've only heard about in song. And this fall happens because of events in the past that have been distorted by lies and myth's truths. And that impact really has hurt everybody's life for the worst, even though they don't necessarily even know it. And I think that's really fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Like, that's part of the irony of the opening scene, right? And they said, they sing the song and our flag will always fly. And then it poofs off in the distance and the flag stops flying. Because there's this sense of like, everything's fine, everything's perfect, nothing will change. And then you're right, the quote, sins of the past come back to wreak havoc. And they've got to figure out what it was, what the issue was. And so over time, they find out that these two people groups, the Arendelles and the
North Undra,
who you find out is parents of Elsa and Anna, father being from Arendelle and mother being from North Undra. And there was a great rift between both of those peoples, and the people of Arendelle kind of exploited, and I don't know if that's quite the right word, but they, in their own selfish gain, try to get a foot on over the North Undren because they didn't like the magic. So, yeah. You find out in the end that they built a dam and they thought it was a symbol of peace, but it was actually...
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting how the king of Arendelle at that time, you know, tricks them. I just had to look it up, but it's the North Uldra. It's not the most easy thing to say. But so... He tricks them by building this dam, which not only in some ways dams up magic, but it also, when you think about it, it dams cut things off.
Yeah.
You know, and that's creates separation.
Separation.
Yes.
It looks like a bridge. Ooh.
Yes. Yes, illusion. Exactly. It's the illusion of like they're being a togetherness, but it's not. And And he's done all this because of he doesn't like their magic, but also he wants to take over their land. So, and he wants to be king of it all.
Yeah.
Instead of living in harmony with nature, especially the way they do.
Right.
Where they are so in tune with nature that they seemingly use magic, even though they're not using magic, they're just living in harmony with magic.
Right.
So... It's just really fascinating. So you end up with this fall of this lie that Arendelle lives under, which Elsa and Anna are raised with, which is that it's actually the people of North Uldra that are responsible for this betrayal. And what's fascinating is that even Elsa and Anna's parents didn't know.
True.
This idea.
Yeah.
They didn't know the truth of this. So it's not even like they're hiding it from them. They just didn't know what the actual truth was. So they've been living the lie as well.
Yeah. And so it's interesting because you open up with truly a creation narrative, or rather a garden narrative, where you have this like perfect nature, the supernaturalness of nature and people, they're living in harmony, it's all fine. And then you have this huge rift between people. So you have a huge rift between humans, and it throws nature into chaos. And so they become antagonistic, the forces of nature, earth, wind, fire, water.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
And
it's almost like it's a band.
Wow. And then the whole garden, quote, gets locked into this fog that nobody can get in or out of. So if you're in, you're in. If you're out, you're out. And there's no passing between the two. And that, like, as soon as I saw that, I was like, yep, there we go. We've got our garden story. Because it's like there was this perfect harmony and you got kicked out and you're locked out. And there's no way back into the garden. And so that's where really Elsa is set up for what you're calling our Jesus character, because she's the only way in, and she's with the help from her friends is the only solution to truly bridge the gap.
Man, it's like she's a Beatles song, a little help from her friends. yeah, that was really fascinating about Elsa is that obviously, like you said, she's the way into the quote unquote garden.
Yeah.
She's also the one who has to follow the path down memory lane, I guess you could call it. Mm-hmm. But going deep down memory lane is almost akin to like traveling to hell, although it's frozen. So,
one.
Yes. Yeah. So hell is actually frozen over in this movie. but by traveling so far, you will die, you know. But she travels so far so she can learn the truth. And the truth, she's able to... I can't remember exactly the mechanism, but she's able to pass it on to Anna. And by passing that on to Anna, Anna can then right the wrongs, which is basically to blow up the dam.
Yeah.
And that release then, and what's interesting in that, so you have Elsa being willing to die. You have Anna, who is then an acting on the information. And then you have Kristoff, who's really the support of all of them. So in a lot of ways, they kind of make this trinity.
A
frozen trinity. And so, and what I really love, too, is that, you know, Anna's sacrifice and willingness to do the right thing, even though it may result, and as far as she knows, it is going to result in Arendelle being destroyed.
Yeah.
Because the amount of water that is going to come rushing down the fjord is going to destroy Arendelle.
Right.
So I think there's so many interesting little things that are happening in this section. And we really do have this kind of like Christ figure. You have, kind of a fatherish type figure in Anna, and Kristoff kind of creates this Holy Spirit who's just there to help the other two. But what's fascinating about it, because you know none of them are actually Jesus, is really all of these characters are going through a metamorphosis of like learning who they truly are.
Right.
And all of that comes, I think, most importantly in the lesson we get with Anna.
Yes. Yeah. And, first side note, this is why I love Olaf in this movie, because he's like the very unveiled message of the story, you know? He's like telling the whole story, like, I hear you when you go through the woods, you come out in transformation. I don't know what that means, but I hope I find out. You know, it's just like he's totally flagging.
It was a little
too much. He's flagging all of the things.
Yeah.
Anna's whole trek through the cave, you know, as far as she knows, her sister's dead. Olaf is dead and dying, and she has no idea where Kristoff is. She thinks he left her, and she's all alone, and she's literally all alone in a cave. And that song that she sings is probably like one of the most, like, I don't know, like powerful songs for like grief, you know, of like, what am I supposed to do when I can't stand up, you know? And and that's the line she continues to repeat, is just do the next right thing, do the next right thing, do the next right thing. And what I love about that is so often, I mean, we probably say it so much on this podcast that people are like, oh, yep, they're pulling out that theme again. But so often in these movies, we see these themes of men trying to be God, you know, or people trying to be God. They're trying to know more, do more, achieve more, reach beyond themselves. I mean, every super villain, this is a regular and ongoing theme. And here you have a human girl who is not a superhero. She's not godlike. She is just her. And she just accepts that. And she's like, I can only do the next right thing. I can only do the next right thing. And it's like that is the attitude we need to adopt, really, you know? And actually, there's a really great poem. I don't know if it was written by Elizabeth Elliot or if I just read it in one of her books by somebody else, but it's called Do the Next Thing. And it's this whole poem about just do the next thing, you know? And that's kind of what this is talking about, is like, you don't know tomorrow. You don't know the solution. You can't solve it all. Just do the next right thing and move forward. And that's like, that is the way that finite creatures are supposed to exist in time.
And what makes this different than a lot of movies too, is that when she says the next right thing, it's not just the next right thing for her.
Right.
What she thinks is right, like her definition of right, because the things that she's doing are, one, you know, after loss, you have to move forward and you have to go on, mm-hmm. you have to find a way through. And then for her, once she gets the message from Elsa that it is the dam that needs to be destroyed, but that she knows that will cause the destruction of Arendelle, she is willing to make that sacrifice to set things right. She's willing to do the right thing regardless of the cost, because it's the right thing to do.
Right.
And I think that's the most powerful thing in the movie, is that right is not defined by them.
Right, because when right was defined by them, aka her grandfather, they did wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, what they did was right in their own eyes. Mm-hmm. They created this huge mess.
Right. And so she does the right thing by almost doing the wrong thing for her people, but mm-hmm. it is the right thing.
Right. Well, and you think about it too, think the last movie, you know, Elsa is doing what is right for her, but it hurts
it
everybody else.
Yeah.
Exactly. So
yeah.
We've learned our lesson that just doing what is right in your own eyes doesn't actually help. It hurts. And it ends up hurting everyone. And that's what we're learning in this movie. But we realize that that has gone much deeper mm-hmm. than we ever expected.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think, you know, kind of on top of that, we see that mirrored in their parents, because their mother is actually from North Uldra, and she's the one who saved their father when the fighting started.
That's
and
true, yeah.
It is that sacrifice that she makes to save him and make sure that he is safe that allows Elsa to be born in the first place. Elsa is given as a gift from magic because of the sacrifice that she makes for him and in, you know, leaving her home and becoming his wife. Like, that's a we learn that what we thought was a curse is actually a blessing.
Yeah.
And it's the thing that will make things right in the end, which is really cool. And that all came from sacrificial love that her mother had for her father, which is kind of beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a really cool story. And I love that whole dynamic that they pull out, where, like you said, she, in the first movie, her powers are considered a curse. And then we see in this movie that they're called a gift. And I love that scene where they discover their parents' ship, and Elsa gets all frantic because she's like, this is my fault. They came out here mm-hmm. for me. Like, I did this. I'm the problem, you know? And Anna reminds her of her identity and who she is. She's like, no, like, you are a gift, and you were given to them, and you have a purpose, you know? And I think, I don't know, that was just such a beautiful moment of, like, what does it look like to squelch the lies and remember the truth?
Mm-hmm.
And we have to do that all the time as Christians, because our own sin and Satan and, you know, all of the things that we have against ourselves to be accused of, like, will tell us so many lies, you know? And to remind ourselves, and our truth is in Christ, obviously. Like, you know, I've been redeemed. I've been changed. I'm not this person. You know, I have been given gifts and a purpose in God's mission, you know. And it's just like Elsa, we have to come
right
back to that so many times.
There's something that I really liked too, because in that, there's this whole theme throughout the movie that water has memory.
Yeah.
And what that becomes is that it is the memory of the truth of what actually happened. Yeah. So it is the truth instead of a lie, yeah, which sets everyone free. Mm-hmm. Because this lie has permeated the entire world that we know in the frozen world, right? Right. And it has hurt everyone because everyone is living according to the lie instead of the truth. And so this really becomes a movie about how the truth will set you free, and that the truth of history is so important to know. And I really, I mean, there's so many things I feel like that are hitting on that note recently, and I just really love it because it's such an important thing, not only for us spiritually, but just in life in general, yeah, to know the truth of history. Like, and I, when I think of how this movie portrays the garden story and people living in light of the misinformation of the garden story and how that screws everything up, you know, that's exactly what we think of in the spiritual realm, and like how living in light of the lies of the garden have destroyed humanity.
Yeah.
And it is only the truth that sets us free. And I think there's a real beauty in that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. And that's definitely a theme in this movie. I love, speaking of the water has memory, you pointed this out when we watched it, but where she walks by the like memory of her old self singing Let It Go, and she kind of rolls her eyes. And I kind of love that one because you see character transformation, right? She's, yes, not the same character she was in that movie. And she's giving a total eye roll to what that whole song stood for, right? Because just as you talked about, she thought she was doing the right thing by her, by being alone. I got to do my own thing. I've got to separate. And she learns by the end of the movie that that was all stupid and she needs people and love, right, and all those things. So I love that they even tapped into previous themes, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, it is, when you think about it, it's, that's the growth that we want. We want that type of growth for ourselves and for others, mm-hmm, around us, you know, and that we move from a place of like just doing what we want because we want to do it, and instead doing the next right thing. And not the next right thing is defined by us, but the next right thing is defined by God.
Yeah.
And it is falling within the truth of the universe being created by God and set up by God, and therefore then living according to his precepts, which is, I mean, when you think about it, that's what Proverbs is, right? Yeah. Is the world rightly ordered,
yeah,
you know? And so this, I think it's kind of beautiful in that this movie is really about them not being the simple, that, mm-hmm, as Proverbs would define, right, it,
yeah,
but that they are actually following wisdom instead.
Yeah.
And we see that by them doing that, things play out much differently than, yeah, they did for, you know, their grandparents. And so I just, this whole movie is so much, that has so much more depth to it than the original. And I think part of the reason I say that is because the original Let It Go was so misconstrued as being this anthem of freedom, when really it's an anthem of slavery to self.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
And this is a movie that celebrates setting aside self, and when you do that, you actually find yourself.
Yeah.
And because each one of these characters in the end, right, they are all struggling with something. You know, Christoph is struggling with that, how do I propose to the woman I love? How do I make that next step? How do I become like the full-on man, right, in this story? Anna is struggling with her identity because she's always like been in Elsa's shadow in many ways. Mm-hmm. And then Elsa is still struggling with the fact that there is still something that she can't define yet, but she knows she's called to a greater purpose.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is once Elsa finds her purpose, Anna finds her purpose, and Kristoff finds his purpose.
Yeah.
And they all find their purpose separately, but also together,
right,
you know? And what we find is that Anna is actually meant to be queen, not Elsa.
Mm.
Elsa is meant to be the bridge between magic and humanity.
Yeah.
And Kristoff is, again, he's meant to be that support for both of them, really, but for,
yeah,
Anna, you,
yeah,
know? So I think that there's a real beauty in that, is that in some ways they lose themselves and then they find themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. A new self, kind of.
Yeah.
The transformed,
yeah,
self.
Yeah, because they are all very, I mean, they are different characters by the end.
Yeah.
So, and part of that is because they truly know who they are, because they've been through, I mean, there's no real fire in this movie other than the, you know, the cute little fire lizard, which you love. Yeah. So I just think that's really neat, though, yes. Because it is a representation of what Jesus talks about. Like, you know, they're willing to lose the whole world so that they can gain their soul.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Because they're willing to do the next right thing.
Yeah. It is a good movie.
It is.
I was pretty surprised.
Yeah, and I also think, too, that and just that one of the things that just movie-wise, it's beautiful.
It really is,
the animation is just gorgeous.
Yeah.
So, what would you rate Frozen 2, do you think?
I think it definitely solidly lands in the 7 category. I do want to rewatch it again. Like you said, for themes, it's higher than your Frozen, mm-hmm. for sure. I don't know if it's gets as high as an 8 or if it's a 7.5, but
Yeah. You know, I think for me, there's only one drawback to the movie for me, and it actually is Olaf, and that they hit the
I love him though.
They hit the theme with him too hard too many times.
He's very unveiled the whole time.
And they didn't need to do that many times. Mm-hmm. So if I could change anything, I would change that. Otherwise, you know, thematically and just every other way, for the most part, I liked this movie more than Frozen. I would say if Frozen is probably like a 7, this movie is an 8 for me.
Yeah.
Like, it just, especially when I'm comparing the two,
right?
Like, this is definitely, I think, even just a better movie. Mm.
So, I will say Olaf's recap of the first movie is the absolute
really funny
best thing.
It's really funny.
I can't believe I was not just laughing because it was funny, but it was so shocking, especially when he tells the part of like, and the parents died.
Yeah.
It's like dark and he's in the corner. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's very, very funny. It feels like Luis from Ant-Man and C-3PO from Return of the Jedi had a baby as they tell a story, because he's even kind of doing sound effects and everything, and it is very funny.
Yes, and then they did it again in the post-credit scene. So funny with all the monsters and snowballs.
So, well, I mean, spoiler alert, our next movie will be Star Wars,
which should be the Rise of
Skywalker. But... Yeah. But, you know, maybe people want to send you their favorite, you know, Frozen 2 gifts. Where can they find you?
Frozen 2 or I'm accepting all things Baby Yoda.
I mean, who isn't?
On Twitter, at Husky10, HUSKI10.
And I'm on Twitter, at MattRushing02. I'm also on, like, Letterboxd, Vero, Instagram, all the same name. And then if you are interested, you can find all that I do writing and podcast-wise housed over on my blog at 42alifeinbetween.wordpress.com. But we already spoiled where you can find us in the cinema next time.
But we'll see you there for Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker. Cinema Stories is part of the To Be the Church podcast network. You can get a hold of us at cinemastories@tobethechurch.com or on social media at tobethechurch. This show is produced by Tyler Clarenshaw, Max Janish, Matt Rushing, and Courtney Huskisson. For more resources and shows like this one, visit tobethechurch.com.